WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. The Senate has confirmed Kristi Noem as Homeland Security Secretary by a vote of 59-34. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was sworn in this morning after his late-night confirmation.
I, Pete Hegseth,
do solemnly swear,
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
He spoke about how he'll handle conflicts.
We don't want to fight wars. We want to deter them, as you said, and we want to end them responsibly. But if we need to fight them, we're going to bring overwhelming and decisive force to close with and destroy the enemy and bring our boys home.
The Trump administration fired more than a dozen inspectors general late last night, apparently in violation of federal law, which requires 30 days notice. Virginia Democratic Senator Mark Warner.
We saw it earlier when President Trump pardoned all the January 6th rioters. Now, to get rid of independent inspector generals. I mean, how is any of this going to lower grocery prices? Donald Trump promised he was going to bring down costs. Instead, he seems to be trying to throw a monkey wrench into the kind of any independence left on our government.
Police in West Palm Beach arrested a Florida man for posting online threats against President Trump. Chief Tony Araujo.
Another one he wrote, I've been banned from X because I said I hope and pray someone kills him. We haven't had an assassination in years. That gives you a flavor of some of the posts that this gentleman posted.
Four female Israeli soldiers are finally free, released from Gaza. CBS's Remy Innocencio is in Tel Aviv.
Those women will now be taken to a hospital right here in Tel Aviv for checks and then, of course, reunited with their happy families. Later today, Israel is expected to release 200 Palestinian detainees and prisoners. There are still 89 more hostages left in Gaza. Seven of them are Americans. Three are believed to be alive.
And those Palestinian prisoners have now been released to cheers and celebrations in the West Bank. The administration is using military planes to deport undocumented migrants. CBS's Willie James Inman.
The U.S. military carried out two repatriation flights to Guatemala, while some 1,500 active duty troops have been deployed to help secure the U.S. southern border. On Friday, immigration officials say they arrested 593 undocumented migrants. During the Biden administration, daily arrests were 312 per day on average. Of the individuals detained, 373 were alleged to have criminal records.
This is CBS.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. One in three kids living in rural areas of Wisconsin is insured by Medicaid, and Congress is considering cutting some of the program's funding. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The nationwide study from Georgetown University Center for Children and Families used census data to compare how many people living in rural areas are insured by Medicaid. William Park Sutherland with Kids Forward explains northern Wisconsin counties above Highway 29 have higher than average rates of children enrolled.
We really are leveraging our future by targeting a program that not only, but one of its most important roles is protecting the health of kids.
About 1.5 million Wisconsinites are insured through BadgerCare, the state Medicaid program. It makes up about 26% of the state budget, providing health care coverage for low-income residents from birth to age 64.
There's just no way to cut out this much of the program, right? $2 trillion, and not hurt children, not hurt seniors, and not hurt people with disabilities who depend on Medicaid along with parents and caregivers.
He says cuts would also risk increasing the number of uninsured people, up the amount of medical debt and financial insecurity in the state, and potentially deter people from seeking care. Wisconsin is one of 10 states that has not expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. A Wisconsin Policy Forum study shows the state could save $1.7 billion over the next 2 years if it did. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some flurries or light snow showers. We'll have highs in the mid-20s. It'll be windy, with winds gusting up to 30 out of the west. For tonight, partly cloudy and windy with a low around 6 degrees. Sunshine for Sunday with a high near 27, mid-30s Monday.
Currently 26 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Demming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
There was a whirlwind of news this week as Donald Trump was inaugurated as the 47th President of the United States. In one of his first actions in office, he signed an executive order targeting birthright citizenship in the 14th Amendment. We go to the Dom Salvia show first this week on Spotlight, along with co-host for the day, Earl Ingram, where they interviewed Josh Call, Attorney General for Wisconsin, to hear how our state is joining a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of this order.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can be a big part, 855-752-4842. We have a jam-packed show for you today. Of course, we've got Jess P.S. working the board for us. My co-host for the day, Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show, right here on Civic Media, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. And also later on in the show, Bill Press, podcaster, prognosticator, friend of ours. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock. Of course, at the end of the day, we do the tell us something good, right, Jess? We have to end it on a positive
every
note.
Every single day. We've never forgotten.
Never, ever. And right now, jazzed as hell to introduce to you from the top, Josh Call, Attorney General from the great state of Wisconsin. Josh, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
It's a pleasure, Josh. Appreciate you making the time today. Obviously, the issue of the day, and there is breaking news on this, the administration's executive order that Trump signed, basically doing away with, by the executive order, birthright citizenship. The breaking news, federal judge today issued a two-week restraining order striking that down. So that is where we stand right now. And this is one of many lawsuits out there. And Josh, you have involved Wisconsin in one of the many lawsuits. Let's start at the beginning, if you would, please, sir. What was the executive order? What was it intended to do? And why do you think it's problematic and unconstitutional?
Yeah, so first of all, on Donald Trump's first day in office, he signed a number of executive orders, and one of them purported to end birthright citizenship for some kids. So these are certain kids who are born in the United States, and Trump was trying to deny them citizenship. The problem with that is, first of all, the U.S. Constitution very clearly says that if you're born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, that you're a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
There's also U.S. Supreme Court precedent that goes back more than 100 years directly on this issue. And on top of that, there's federal law that makes clear that kids who are born in this country are U.S. citizens. And so this is clearly an unconstitutional action. The court in Washington State, the federal court there today, said that this action was blatantly unconstitutional. And so on the first day in office, the new president was blatantly violating the U.S. Constitution. So we have stepped in along with a number of other states to protect the rights of kids who are born in our state and thereby are Wisconsin citizens.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Josh Call, Attorney General from the great state of Wisconsin, joining us along with Earl Ingram as well. Josh, what I didn't understand, and the logic, and my understanding, this was brought up during the discussion today. If a person is not subject to the jurisdiction of this country, and therefore, how could the federal government prosecute them or state government prosecute them? It seems asinine on its face, sir.
Yeah, it's an incredibly narrow exception, and courts have actually weighed in on what this means. But if, for example, if you are a foreign diplomat in the country and you have diplomatic immunity, that would be an example of somebody who's not subject to the jurisdiction. It's a very narrow category.
Right.
It does not apply to kids who are born in the United States under circumstances other than those very rare circumstances. And so this is not a serious argument. The other thing is, these kinds of arguments have been made before and they've been rejected. So
yeah.
What we have is the Trump administration directing federal agencies, and that in turn means state agencies have to take action, to do something that has been established to be unconstitutional. And that's not at all what our president should be doing. He just took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. And here he is on his first day in office violating it.
Not surprisingly, unfortunately. Attorney General Call, my understanding, there was a late filing on Wednesday from the Trump administration challenging whether or not the states have standing. What's your thought on that?
Well, this has big impacts on states. This is an argument we see in a lot of cases, but and we laid this out in the case that we're involved in. It also came up in this case in Washington. But there are a number of things that states have to do to comply with this order if it's put into effect. So, for example, right now when there's a child born in Wisconsin, we know that that's a U.S. citizen. But if this order that the Trump administration put in place were to go into effect, there would have to be an apparatus set up for making determination on a case-by-case basis. It would also potentially impact federal funding of programs.
Mm.
So there's a real impact on the states. The court in Washington obviously didn't find that issue to be much of a concern. And I'm very optimistic that we will both win on standing and ultimately win this case.
Josh Call, Attorney General from the great state of Wisconsin. Josh, what about the state's role in immigration policy? And I ask that question in the context of a three-page Justice Department memo that apparently started circulating yesterday, saying that if the local and state officials don't assist, that what, the federal DOJ is going to go after them. What, sir, you're the head LEO here in the state of Wisconsin. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first, I think with this new administration, it's important to separate out what's real from what's just a scare tactic or what's bluster. And I think that this new memo falls into the later category. The reality is, first of all, that state and local officials all over the country follow the law and comply with the law. At the same time, we have a role to play in stepping up to protect people's rights. And our system is based on the idea that states are their own sovereigns and they have a right to take action. That's a long established tradition in the United States. And the Trump administration is trying to run over that. Again, the Constitution has set up this system and the Trump administration is disregarding it. And it's important to note that all this stuff is happening in the context of the pardons that were issued on
right. The
first day that Trump had in office. Over 1,500 people associated with January 6th were pardoned. And that includes people who engaged in violent activities. A few of them received terrorism enhancements in their sentences. And what Donald Trump did is he sided with people convicted of crimes over the police officers who were the victims of those crimes. So again, it's a complete disrespect for the rule of law in our system of government. It's a really disastrous first week that the Trump administration has had.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Attorney General Josh Call joining us this segment. Just a practical matter, and I want to get to the pardons in just a moment. Help our audience understand why all the different separate lawsuits. I mean, every state could have done one. Wisconsin joined on one. The one that the federal judge in Seattle ruled on today was from four other states. What's the strategy or theory behind that, Josh?
Well, you know, we work very well with other AGs around the country. And in a lot of cases, we do that in a bipartisan fashion. So, for example, when we work to hold opioid companies accountable, and work that's still ongoing, by the way, you know, we have worked across the aisle in a bipartisan fashion. But in other issues where there's a partisan divide, like there has been with birthright citizenship, we work together with other Democratic AGs. And so that's what's happened here. Now, as you can imagine, there are a lot of states in the country, and we don't all agree necessarily in every case on strategy or approach. And so it's not uncommon for there to be more than one suit going on. I believe there are also there's at least one other case that was brought by a nonprofit group. So it's not unusual. And what tends to happen is either courts will rule consistently and that will sort of resolve the issue, or in an issue that either the courts disagree on or that's of sufficiently high profile that the Supreme Court wants to get involved, the U.S. Supreme Court ultimately resolves the issue, and that governs for all the cases. So we'll see which case proceeds the quickest here. But, you know, we feel good about the case we're a part of, and I'm optimistic we'll be successful.
So, good afternoon, Attorney General Call. How are you?
Good, good. Good afternoon, Earl.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice again. But I guess what I'd like to ask you is Donald Trump freelancing? I mean, all of these, he has attorneys around him who understand the implications of the decisions that he's making. Or is it that there are gray areas and the attorneys that he has with him are going to challenge these gray areas that you and others know are not gray areas, but, you know, a misunderstanding on their issues? Do you think he's doing these things on his own?
No, I think that this is a part of a very carefully laid out strategy. Now, the Trump administration had a lot of time to think about what it was going to be doing when it came into office. And, you know, one thing we've seen with Donald Trump throughout his career is that he has gotten really his entire party to back down and get behind him on whatever issue it is he's addressing. And I think we're seeing a similar effort here. You know, we've seen it with these CEOs of tech companies who are all of a sudden making these huge donations to the inaugural and then showed up at the inauguration. We've seen some concerning self-censorship from the press. And I think this is consistent with that. It's an effort to get the courts or policymakers to back down. And we see that with these threats that are being made in this DOJ memo. But here's the thing. People are not going to back down. People are going to stand up for the rights of, in my case, of Wisconsinites, and in the case of my colleagues in other states, the rights of the people in their states. And we're going to ensure that our Constitution is protected and the rights of Americans are upheld.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. Attorney General Josh Call for about 60 more seconds. Josh, with regards to the pardon, as the chief top law enforcement officer in the state of Wisconsin, you know, officers have come from all sorts of political stripes, and they put themselves on the line. And to see this reaction from Donald Trump to pardon even the most violent of criminals and put these folks back out on the street, have you talked to regular law enforcement officers, and what's their reaction been?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are a lot of folks out there who normally back Trump who've been critical, including some Republican members of Congress in Wisconsin who've said this went too far. I believe there's a police union that recently came out and criticized this. But you've got Donald Trump opening the jailhouse doors here with people who, in some cases, were convicted of violent crimes to side with them over the police. It's disgraceful.
Absolutely disgraceful. Josh Call, Attorney General from the great state of Wisconsin, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for standing up to Donald Trump and for the Constitution. You know, they used to call him, the Republican Party would be proud to be called the Party of Law and Order. I like to think they're the Party of Assault and Battery these days. Josh, thank you so much. We'll look forward to speaking to you real soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. Earl Ingram joining me today. You can do so as well on the phones, 855-752-4842. We got a stacked show, man. Bill Press coming in at 5 o'clock. Plus, tell us something good at the end of the show. Once again, 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us.
The Dom Salvia Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 4 till 6. To learn more about this show and all the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family. Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Matt and Air on Air. And Jane and Greg continue the conversation started by Dom about some of the executive orders passed by Trump this week. They focus on his broad pardon of January 6th insurrectionists and discuss some of the Wisconsinites who were at the Capitol that day.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, State Senator Chris Larson is going to join us. We're going to talk about drinking in Wisconsin, binge drinking in particular in Wisconsin. It's dry January.
Yep.
A lot of people abstaining this month to give their livers a little break to breathe. But if you have any favorite mocktail recipes, if you're taking part in dry January, we would love to hear from you and hear what your replacement is.
If dry January has led you to maybe just not drinking. I have friends who started with dry January and then said, I'll try February. And either they have far decreased or just quit drinking altogether. So,
and it was just a matter of, you know what, I don't miss it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I you know, and we'll talk about this more with Senator Larson, but I truly believe you quit something when you want to, not when you feel like you're forced or...
Absolutely.
You have to want it.
Yes, you do. You can't make it. It's not about making a deal with anybody.
Yep.
It's So we'll look that around a little bit after 10:30. I did want to talk a little bit more about the blanket pardons that Donald Trump issued immediately upon entering office. And I think that this is important detail. J.D. Vance allegedly pushed for a blanket pardon early in the discussions into heading into Inauguration Day. This is the part that kills me. Staffers felt that a case-by-case review of all 1,500 cases would be too onerous.
Too much work.
Too much work. So Trump just landed on clemency for all of them to get it in the past.
He actually said something that we can't say on the air about it.
It
but
was F it.
It was, yeah, just do it.
Just do it. I don't care.
Which, from his standpoint, was very smart, because if those clemencies and that, those considerations hung over his head for even a few months,
dragged on,
that's the question. It's like, hey, where's your health care plan? Hey, where is your fix for all of our spending problems you say we have? Hey, what about the clemencies for January 6th? So just
this way, it's done.
Just done,
and we assume people will forget. Among the people that he pardoned, all the best people.
Yeah.
All the best traders. Stuart Rhodes of Texas, Kelly Meggs of Florida, the founder and current leader of the Oath Keepers.
Yeah.
As well as members of the Proud Boys. And the ex-wife of Stuart Rhodes told Jim Acosta on CNN she's afraid for her life now that he's been released. And I think back to the case where there was a son who actually reported his father as one of the people who rioted and attacked the Capitol on January 6th of 2021. He's got to be terrified.
Yeah, it's his father called his father referred to him as a traitor. Isn't that rich? That's funny. That's funny.
His father called his son a traitor
for reporting him. Yes.
Thanksgiving's going to be
fun. And it's a Newsweek article.
headline: man who reported father to FBI after January 6th, quote, terrified.
Oh, I bet.
Of Trump pardons. So it's
Michael, Michael Fanone.
Yeah.
Who was one of the officers who almost died in that attack after being stunned repeatedly. He actually had a heart attack during this attack. He's really worried, not just about himself and his mother has been swatted.
Yeah.
The man's mother. My mother has been the victim of swatting incidents. She's had bricks thrown at her home in the middle of the night. Recently, when she was raking leaves in the front yard, somebody pulled up a truck and threw a bag of crap on her. All the best people.
Yeah.
All the best people.
Just as a clarification, I want to say really quick, we were talking about the elections coming up. The spring primary election is the 18th of February. That's next month. It's Tuesday, February 18th. The general will be April the 1st, which is also a Tuesday. So just mark those on your calendars.
You need to turn out for the it's an important election. It really is. And I know it's like, hey, Vade, and we just do this. Yes, we did.
You did.
But we live in Wisconsin. We're always voting.
We're always. Yay.
Representative democracy.
Yep.
We need you to come out, especially if we want to keep the fair maps that we just got.
Yeah. And we're gonna have referendums for the Wisconsin Constitution again. So
absolutely, and they're counting on a big Republican turnout for this election based on that constitutional amendment, which is therefore why we need folks to get out and make sure you vote in this Supreme Court race between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel.
Absolutely,
really, really, really important.
Yeah.
Another thing, going back to the mass pardon of all of the traitors who attacked the Capitol on January 6th. There's a lot of concern about, and again, because they couldn't go through this on a case-by-case basis because it's just too time.
It's not enough people.
I have other things to do.
Yeah.
There is recidivism from people who are released from jail.
Mm-hmm.
So if even five of the people that he just released go out and go on to commit further crimes, that kind of makes you look bad. But again, with this administration, nothing sticks.
No, because whatever they do, it'll be for patriotism and for the country. And I will continue to say this, that these, what was it, 1,500 people?
1,500.
1,500 people now have a pardon in their back pocket from the President of the United States of America. If you don't think that they don't feel some sort of divine immunity, you're out of your mind.
Absolutely.
This is going to backfire on this country so hard. And I think that it, once again, it is a double standard. It is waiting to blow up in our faces. And these people who are arrested are not well. They're not people who should be. They haven't learned their lesson. Let's put it that way.
And I just want to put the cherry on the sundae with this comment from Republican John Thune, who's taken over as the Senate Majority Leader from Mitch McConnell. He says Republicans are all focused on moving forward. They don't look back. Okay.
What did Mike Johnson say about the Biden family?
Oh, well, except for the Biden family.
Yeah, they're going to.
Well, except for Hunter Biden.
They're going to.
And even James Comer has said that he still wants to go after Hunter Biden.
Yeah, they want to revisit the pardons and, you know, but they're not looking back, folks.
Oh, and everyone deserves forgiveness.
Yes, everyone
they
deserves.
Believe, you know, Moses Mike Johnson says everyone deserves a second chance.
Yeah.
Except for Hunter Biden.
Especially his laptop.
Pretty much any Biden.
Yeah.
All right. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
CBS News Brief. The Senate today confirmed Kristi Noem as Homeland Security Secretary. CBS's Willie James Inman says Pete Hegseth was confirmed as Defense Secretary last night, but not without drama.
Vice President J.D. Vance cast the tie-breaking vote after three Republicans, including former Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, sided with Democrats in opposition to Hegseth's nomination.
Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine is upset after the president fired more than a dozen inspectors general at federal agencies.
I don't understand why one would fire individuals whose mission is to root out waste, fraud, and abuse.
Hamas has released four more hostages, all female Israeli soldiers. The BBC's Yolanda Nell is in Tel Aviv.
There were cheers and whistles as the Israeli crowd here, watching the news on a large screen, caught the first glimpse of the four female soldiers alive and apparently in good physical health in central Gaza City.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Marquette over Villanova. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Marquette glided to an 87-74 win over Villanova in Milwaukee last night. Chase Rose had 18. Cam Jones scoring 16 points. In the Big Ten, the Wisconsin Badgers hosting the Nebraska Cornhuskers tomorrow at noon. Wisconsin back from that tough 85-83 loss to UCLA. Greg Gard.
We'll go through the film here today and learn from it and quickly turn the page. You see every night in this league, it's very competitive. And you're going to have some really good times, and you can't get enamored with those, and you're going to take one on the chin here or there, and you can't get overwhelmed with that. They're upset. They know we didn't play up to our ability, specifically defensively, and you know, I think quite frankly, we feel we should be 7-1 right now in the league. We're not. I expect nothing less than them to bounce back and be ready to go today and tomorrow and prep for Nebraska Sunday.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and colder tonight, to low of 5 to 10 and a little breezy. Sunshine warmer for tomorrow, highs upper 20s. Partly sunny, upper 30s to around 40 Monday and Tuesday. A few flurries possible Tuesday night into Wednesday. It's 24 right now.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WISCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WISCaregiver.com.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend happenings in terms of news and offer you another look at what's worse, your opportunity to call in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Up next, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. This week, Pat welcomed on Assembly Representative Francesca Hong from Madison to talk about the issues she's focusing on in the legislature during the new session, including her main emphasis on a proposal of healthy school meals for all.
This is the anniversary of the birth of the late Sam Cooke, singing What a Wonderful World, What It Could Be. And that will kick off this week's homeroom segment where we talk about public education, great things about it and the threats to it as well. And so we are visiting today with State Assembly Representative Francesca Hong, who is on the Assembly Education Committee. Fran, good morning. Thank you so much for being here today.
Good morning, Pat. So happy to be here.
I did not check my roster carefully, so I'm asking out of complete ignorance. Are you the ranking Democrat on education this year?
I am the ranking Dem this year.
All right. So that's all things Assembly Education. This is our point person who's helping to defend our schools and also put things in to our education system that, you know, should be there, like adequate funding, or in this case, healthy school meals for all. And I will say again, and I will say it all the time, this shouldn't be a thing. We shouldn't be having this debate about kids, you know, and not being able to afford being able to have lunch at school. And yet this is where we are. We've talked about this the fourth year the bill's been put up, but give folks a little background on the bill and then we'll get into how we can get this thing to make some progress.
Thanks so much, Pat. This is one of my favorite bills to introduce and one of my favorite days of the year when we can gather at the Capitol and talk about feeding our kids. This is our third introduction of the Healthy School Meals for All legislation, and it's simple. It's a bill that reimburses schools for feeding kids. It doesn't matter what type of school you go to. It can be a school for the blind, our public schools. And what it ensures is that every kid has access to a healthy, free breakfast and lunch.
That's it. Seriously, that's it. We don't charge kids for riding on the school bus. There's no fare box on the school bus. Why would we have one at the cafeteria? Look, we've heard either for fiscal reasons or my favorite is when opponents of the bill say, you know, well, we're subsidizing lunch for wealthier families that can afford it. That's a weird time to suddenly be against, you know, subsidies for wealthier families, given how much we send away to, you know, school vouchers, for example. It's a very novel argument. So let's not even debate it. Let me ask instead, and, you know, be as candid as you want to. Do you feel like the bill has been making any progress year by year that this could finally move? Or does there seem to be a Republican brick wall to such a basic idea?
We have never had a Republican sign on to our Healthy School Meals for All bill. And we have never gotten a public hearing for this bill. And it's really unfortunate that we are debating hunger and feeding our kids. We should be banning hunger and not banning books. And I do hope that with more Democrats in the state assembly, increasing our numbers and knowing that Republicans have to go back to their communities saying they did something good, that this is what we can agree upon, feeding all of our kids a healthy school meal.
Exactly. I can't imagine a Republican in a swing district being asked point blank, you know, why you don't support this, why you wouldn't even give the bill a public hearing. I mentioned voucher schools a minute ago, and with Governor Evers giving his State of the State address tonight, I note here that Arizona's Governor, Democrat Katie Hobbs, gave her State of the State yesterday and really targeted the explosion of state funds going to voucher schools. We had my colleague Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier on last week to talk about that as well. This continues to be a very real fiscal concern, never mind the threat to public education, but it's a real fiscal concern that voucher schools could truly blow up the state budget in the not too distant future.
I mean, regardless of your zip code, everyone loves their public schools, and it's a place of community. It's a place of bringing people together, and it's a place where all kids, no matter their background, ability, race, again, or neighborhood, should be able to thrive. And so for our state to be funding two school systems and moving towards privatization of education, which is ultimately what the right is aiming to do, it's a disgrace. And if you look across the country, regardless of political affiliation, folks are fighting for their public schools. Texas to Colorado, Arizona, Indiana. If you look at places who have universal voucher programs, their states are headed towards massive deficits. And it's because funding private schools with public dollars is not feasible. And ultimately, this is about our kids having access to the best education and us as taxpayers having politicians who follow the Constitution. It is every kid's constitutional right to have access to a good public school. And so when we undermine our public schools, when we give public dollars to private entities, we risk harming our kids. And ultimately, this is about our kids.
We are talking to State Representative Francesca Hong from the State Assembly Education Committee. On the Education Committee, it is, I think, a concern of a lot of us that there will be not so much a focus on educational issues as on culture war issues, things that actually target our children by folks who might feel emboldened by remarks made in the new president's inaugural address. Or are those concerns overblown?
No, they are not. And let me be crystal clear. For our vulnerable students, our students who are queer, our kids of color, all students who don't have access to a high quality public education, Democrats are here to fight for each and every one of you. We should not be using kids as political footballs. They should never be a political target. And for Republicans to very intentionally go after queer or trans kids, it's incredibly disheartening and it's wrong. And it's cowardly, to be honest, because instead of debating the issues, we are distracting the public by weaponizing kids, trans kids who just want to be kids, who just want to be able to navigate this incredibly difficult world for them right now with ease. And every kid should be able to be their most authentic selves and to thrive. And it's an absolute disgrace that Republicans insist on putting our kids in danger as opposed to working on policies that will help cut costs for families, like healthy school meals for all.
Not to mention the kids who, frankly, are still wrestling with sexual identity and gender identity. It is a mental health issue that these are kids who need support, they need resources, they need guidance, rather than being shunned, banned, shamed, marginalized, whatever the case may be. And we really appreciate having you on the Assembly Education Committee to help stick up for that very vulnerable population. I guess I could mention in passing that there is still the unfunded literacy mandate. That's more of a joint finance committee thing where they're sitting on money that has been approved for literacy programs, but they continue sitting on it, wanting to micromanage, you know, the way that school districts spend the money. This is from the last budget. We're dealing with the new budget, and yet I sense, Representative Hong, that this standoff may go on for a bit yet.
It's getting tied up in the courts, which is not surprising that when Republicans don't get their way, they try to litigate their way out of it and use taxpayer dollars to fund their legal representation. This bill was already controversial, and I think it's incredibly unfortunate that when our educators and our administrators are now forced to grapple with implementing these new standards, that we are here still debating whether or not to fund it and give folks the resources to be able to implement this new literacy bill and be able to help and support our kids. And so once again, Republicans are weaponizing and withholding good things from our communities. And I really do hope that we can move past and that the committee releases these funds so that our educators and our administrators are able to follow the law.
Again, it's in the category of this shouldn't be a thing. This money was approved. It should be released. Here's another in that category, and stepping away from education for a moment, under the category of this shouldn't be a thing, that when it comes to expanding Medicaid coverage for new moms, that the federal government does have financial incentives to extend that coverage from, I think it's 60 days right now, to 12 months postpartum because it's such a health hazardous time for women. And I think 48 states have done this, except Wisconsin and Arkansas. And yet, Fran, this is one of the most bipartisan ideas that's out there. One man stood in the way last session, and that same man is proudly saying he's going to stand in the way this session. Can you kind of fill in the background on expanding Medicaid coverage for new moms?
Robin Voss is always more interested in protecting his power than doing good for the people of Wisconsin. And for Robin Voss to be the lone obstacle on the most bipartisan bill in helping our new mothers ensure that they have the rest and the autonomy to be able to take care of themselves and their babies, and to get in the way of that, when we know that the majority of Wisconsinites want this, the majority of legislators want this, and yet Robin Voss is choosing to exert his power and try to leverage and again weaponize new moms and withhold funding and withhold the ability for us to pass this bill. And it's unfortunate, but again, not surprising because this is who Voss is.
He wants us to basically fall into a rhetorical trap here where he lists all Medicaid as welfare and does not want any of it. He thinks it's government spending on welfare, and he lumps that into that category. He wants to have a debate on Medicaid as welfare.
I'm pretty sure that from Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap and Civic Media. Eau Claire Area High School basketball is on the air. Coverage of tonight's matchup begins with the pregame show, featuring an interview with the coach, a look around other area action, and the keys to the game. Let's head to the gym. Here's Scott Montesano.
Hello, everyone, and live from North High School, live from actually Eau Claire Memorial High School, it's Eau Claire Area High School basketball. Tonight, it's a non-conference matchup in girls basketball as the Eau Claire Memorial Old Abes face the Appleton Patriots. This is a great opportunity for Memorial to gauge themselves against an opponent from another part of the state. The Old Abes have faced literal resistance against Western Wisconsin foes, winning each of their last 14 games, many in a dominating fashion, but this is their first test against a program from the eastern part of the state. Appleton East comes in at a 7-7 overall record, but they're playing out of a tough Fox Valley Association, a conference that regularly produces teams that make deep postseason runs. So while it's still January, a potential appetizer to the level of play Memorial must defeat in order to get to the state tournament. I'm Scott Montesano. We're excited to have you with us for our coverage of Eau Claire Area High School basketball tonight from Memorial High School and a Memorial Girls matchup against Appleton East. Again, tip-off coming up at the top of the hour. Hey, our friends with Old Abe TV will be the ones calling this game for you tonight. So excited for this. Charles Strayer will be providing the play-by-play for you coming up in a little bit. He is a senior Memorial. Great opportunity for that aspiring broadcaster to get some reps for all of you. And I'm so excited for how he is going to present the broadcast to all of you. But the old guard, the old head, if you will, me, helping to set the foundation for you. And again, for Memorial, they come in having won 14 straight games. Their lone loss was to Stevens Point in the season opener. Brandon Fanning has been able to run out whole line changes. Raina Welch is the noteworthy star, but we saw Nora Kling, the freshman, flash against Eau Claire North a week and a half ago. As for Appleton East, they're led by Ella Sweeney, who is a three-point threat. Tori Neubauer, a defensive presence. Well, earlier today, I caught up with the head coach of Eau Claire Memorial, Brandon Fanning. Now, the really noteworthy thing about all of this is obviously we know in the playoffs, you play back-to-back. that first weekend. Memorial played last night, taking on Chi-High, winning that game handily. Now they turn around 24 hours later, take on a tough Appleton East team, and that's how Brandon and I begin the conversation, talking about how this schedule is a little appetizer to what the team will face a month from now.
I thought, this game kind of comes at the right time for us. As we about a month out from postseason play, to allow us to see what a back-to-back feels like, to have our kids kind of go through it without the extra pressure, right, of winter go home. And then we obviously are fortunate enough to have a quality opponent that was willing to come over and, challenge us today.
How have your players handled the winning streak? Have they been playing very good basketball, or have they coasted a few times? Now, we saw them firsthand against North, and you got a good ball game that night. But overall, they've won all these games in a row. You got to be happy about that as a coach. Are they playing up to their ability?
Yeah, I mean, I think, any coach, right, is going to tell you that we still have some room to grow. It's been a lot of fun with this group. I think we have a lot of depth, so we've been able to weather when certain kids have off nights, because the kid behind them, is as good or almost as good, and so for us, we're really blessed to have, 10 kids that can really contribute in a quality way.
And speak to that a little bit, because, it's not uncommon for a very good high school basketball team to have 4, 5, maybe go 6 deep, mm-hmm. but you can run a whole line change out there. That is an enviable thing you have, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it allows us to play, a high-pressure, high-paced system, because we can cycle a lot of kids in and out of the lineup and not have very much drop-off. And we have a lot of kids that really buy in. We talked about that a lot in the beginning of the season, just kind of how we wanted to play, and that some of your minutes are probably going to be less than last year's. And so kids have been willing to give, right, for the greater good. So that's been a really neat thing about this group.
How excited do you think your kids are to take on a team from the Fox Valley? And obviously the Fox Valley typically has programs on boys and girls side that go deep into the playoffs year in and year out. Usually you have to match up against them at one point in the postseason. So a nice gauge today.
Yeah, it's nice for us to get a feel. It's one of the best leagues in the state, from top to bottom. So for us to be able to be able to compete and kind of see where we're at, right, late January, I think is going to be a really good thing for us as we try to reach kind of the best version of ourselves.
A lot of people, when they look at the roster, they notice Reyna. Who are some other players that have really been stepping up for you this year? And I think on some nights it's been a different player. I know we saw the freshman pop against North a week and a half ago, but tell us some of the players who've really been stepping up for you.
Yeah, I mean, again, we have a lot of kids that can score the ball, and so that's been, I'm sure, frustrating for some kids at nights, but, they've really been good about finding the hot hand. Obviously, Nora's had a really good freshman year. Ava Hoytom's coming off the bench and done a lot of nice things for us. I thought Cora Graham has been playing really well lately. A kid that probably doesn't get highlighted very often is Ashlyn Schroeder. Ash does a lot of things for us that kind of are not stat bound, but she does a lot of winning things. So, for us, we have a ton of kids, Rhea Shaw, Lydia when she's healthy, we just have a lot of really good things going for us.
And once again, that's the head coach of the Eau Claire Memorial Old Abes, Brandon Fanning, talking to us earlier tonight. So again, it is Memorial and Appleton East. When we come back, we'll continue to preview this game for all of you and continue to set the scene ahead of a 5 o'clock tip-off. This is Eau Claire Area High School Basketball from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening.
For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
A little non-conference basketball action ahead of us on this Saturday night. Oakland Memorial taking on Appleton East. And as you heard us talk about a little while ago, this is a big gauge for Memorial. Memorial has won 14 games in a row. Their only loss was to Stevens Point in the season opener way back when we still had turkey in our bellies from Thanksgiving. So you don't take much from that. But this is a big gauge here. Now, this Appleton East team is only 7-7. They are 7-4, though, in the Fox Valley Association, which is a conference that is routinely one of those barriers for schools from this conference to go deep into the playoffs and get to the state. So this is, again, a nice little litmus test for Memorial. How good really are they? We know they've been crushing opponents on the western side of the state, a chance to prove themselves a little bit here. And whether they win or lose, it's not a matter of that. How do they stack up there going forward? A month from now is when the playoffs begin. Obviously, the whole win goes a long way to helping out any potential seeding. So it is Memorial against Appleton East. When we come back, the crew from Old Abe TV will have the call for you. We'll come back, starting lineups and the opening tip next from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Sports talk radio is flooded with opinions.
Blah, blah, blah.
So why not cleanse the palate a little with something different? Check out the Let the Kids Play podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. That's echometownradio.com. Get the opinion on the latest sports news from the perspective of a 13-year-old. Join Derek Montesano every week for his opinion on what is happening in sports. Let the Kids Play. Heard only at echometownradio.com.
Eau Claire Hometown Media is where the Chippewa Valley comes to talk. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify and have local podcasts come right to you every single day. Eau Claire Hometown Media features Banker with a Beer, Dose of Dog, Talk of the Town, and many other popular local podcasts. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify today.
It's time for tip-off. With the play-by-play of tonight's game, here's Scott Montesano.
Welcome back to Eau Claire Memorial High School. Memorial against Appleton East girls non-conference basketball action. Scott Montesano with you. So happy to be with us on this Saturday night. Should be a fun non-conference matchup for both sides to see where they stand out. And with the starting lineups and the call of tonight's game, we turn it over to our friends with Old Abe TV. We've got Charles, a senior from Eau Claire Memorial, who's going to give you the first and second half description. Charles, take it away.
Good afternoon, basketball fans. I'm Charles Strayer. On behalf of Old Abe TV and Eagle Eye Digital, I'd like to welcome you here to the Eagle's Nest. Thanks to 93.5 FM.
And my good league sophomore, wearing number 14, Ella Sweeney. Head coach for the Patriots is Ryan Passion. Here's
Starters for the Oakland Memorial Old Aves. Rhea Shaw, Ashlyn Schroeder, Nora Kling, Raina Welsh, and Marley Ferguson.
5 foot 8 inch sophomore, wearing number 5, Marley Ferguson. 5 foot 10 inch senior, wearing number 10, Ashlyn Schroeder. And the 6 foot senior, wearing number 40, Raina Welsh. Head coach for the Oakland Aves is Brandon Fanning. Officials for today's contest are Travis Carr, Danny Corbird, and Trent Carr.
And just about to tip off here, the Old Aves coming off of a 90-plus point showing against the Cardinals just last night here at the Eagles Nest. They come into this one undefeated at home and undefeated in the conference, coming up against a Fox Valley Association team in the Appleton East Patriots. Tori Neubauer and Ashlyn Schroeder on the tip. Tip is away, up for grabs, and the Patriots start off. Decided to hurl a pass to the right side from three. Short on the attempt is Jenna Ott, and it's going the other way. Nora Kling, the freshman, taking it up with pace on the right side. Pass to Shaw. Drive in, pick it up. Schroeder driving in left side, puts up a shot, and the Aves will strike first. Ashlyn Schroeder coming in relief, putting in a strike to put the Aves up two. Patriots will rifle it back. Ott from the corner. He'll go back to Neubauer. Neubauer's shot, no good. Schroeder with the rebound. The Patriots sent away scoreless in their opening two possessions. Welsh down low, fed